If you would have asked me when I was 5 years old what the most disgusting thing on the face of the planet was, I would have told you that it was pickles. Like it wasn't the taste of pickles, like even the smell of pickles would make the 5-year-old me like start to gag and almost throw up. Like I just couldn't do pickles, period. Like seeing them was just gross. My dad and my sister, they both liked pickles, and like meals where they were eating pickles, I would seriously leave the table so I wouldn't throw up because I just couldn't do that. All right. 22 years later, if you asked me what the grossest thing on the face of the planet is, my answer would remain unchanged. Pickles are disgusting. All right, so like a couple weeks ago, we went to Chick-fil-A and we were getting sandwiches to bring them home, and I always order my sandwich, no pickles on it, because they're gross, right? And so we get home and like I unwrap my sandwich and I can just tell something's wrong. It's like I pull the bun off and there's the two pickles underneath it. And so I throw the two pickles away, and then I also threw the bun away because the pickle had been sitting on the bun, and so there was like pickle juice that like seeped into it, and that was just going to spoil the whole experience. And so I ate just the chicken, and I had to like dip it in a bunch of barbecue sauce because there was still like that pickle residue on it. It just tasted off as the worst Chick-fil-A I've ever eaten. It was just gross. Like, there's some things that disgust everybody, right? There's some things that are universally disgusting, like a middle school guy at Falls Creek that hasn't showered by Thursday. Like, that's universally disgusting. But then we all have, like, our little hang-ups of things that disgust us, right? So what's something that disgusts you guys? It doesn't have to be food-related, but what's kind of a quirky thing that you just find disgusting?
Camel crickets.
Wait, what?
Camel crickets.
Camel crickets? Maybe later. I don't even know what you're talking about. Somebody else. What? What?
Not brushing your teeth.
Yeah. Okay. Somebody else. What's something that's disgusting to you? The gum on the bottom of the tables, or pews, or like a gum tree. Yeah. Have you ever seen anybody lick a gum tree? Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, Craig's done it, I'm sure, yeah. The feedback coming through the monitor, yeah. Like fingernails on a chalkboard, is that one for anybody? Like, yeah, some of you just cringed when I even said that. On jeans? Everybody starts doing it. B.O., yeah. So we're all familiar with this idea, this feeling of disgust, right? We've all experienced that in our lives. When something grosses us out, we kind of avoid it, right? We order the sandwiches with no pickles. When someone's like scratching the chalkboard, you plug your ears, right? When someone doesn't take a shower, you run the other direction sometimes. Like we're familiar with that feeling of disgust. Disgust causes us to avoid things, right? The problem is that often we don't feel disgust just towards like things, but sometimes we feel it towards people too, right? So I don't want you to answer this out loud. I just want you to think about, deep down, who disgusts you and why? Like, who makes you want to look away? Who makes you want to walk the other direction and why? Maybe it's somebody that has different political beliefs than you do. Maybe they feel very differently about a certain issue than you do, and you're very passionate about it. And so the person that feels the opposite side of that, like, you don't even want to talk to, you don't even want to interact with, right? Maybe that's it. Maybe it's somebody that has a different color skin than you do. I realize that's probably not as prevalent in your generation as it is in your parents' generation or your grandparents' generation, but racism is a very real problem in the world. Maybe that's it. Maybe you are feel disgust towards people that have a lot of money. Like they have all the cool stuff, they have all this stuff that you want that you, your family can't afford, and so you see them with that, and no matter what it is they're doing, you just feel like they're flaunting what they have and you just kind of hate that person. Or maybe you're like middle class and you kind of hate the people that don't have anything. Maybe they don't smell very good, maybe they wear the same clothes all the time, and maybe that bothers you. Maybe it's the person in your school who is sexually active and they're not really shy about that. They hold very different morals than you do, and it just kind of repulses you. The truth is, I might not have hit the thing for you, but we're all guilty of that, right? When someone is different from us, whether it be their beliefs, how they look, how they act, the circumstances surrounding their life, sometimes we react with disgust. We don't want to have anything to do with them. And so as we go through this passage tonight, I want you to think about who it is that you would prefer not to talk to, who you would prefer not to be seen with, who you would prefer not to touch, who you would prefer not to interact with. Who would you consider to be untouchable? Okay, we're starting a four-week series tonight titled The Untouchables, and it's going to look at the ministry of Jesus and some of the people that he interacted with that were on the outside of society. And so we're going to see what we can learn from some of those people. We're going to be in Luke chapter 19 tonight. We're going to look at a very familiar story about a wee little man. I'm actually going to let Alan introduce this story to you. So we've got a video here.
The sycamore tree, and the year he wanted to see, and as he passed that way, and he looked up in the tree and said, "Zacchaeus, you come now. We're going to your house today. We're going to your house today."
Aww. Yeah, we'll watch it one more time. Play it again.
Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and the wee little man was he. And he climbed up in the sycamore tree, and the year he wanted to see. And as he passed that way, and he looked up in the tree, and said, "Zacchaeus, you come down. We're going to your house today. We're going to your house today."
Yeah. He did that today. Yeah. So he started learning that song a few weeks ago, and he really likes it. And so Beth got him to sing it today for the camera. So anyways, we're talking about Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is a wee little man, but there's more about Zacchaeus that we need to know than that. There's a little bit of background that you need to know about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was despised by the people around him, and there were a lot of reasons for that. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And as much as we hate like paying taxes today, it's a little bit different connotation back then. It's a little different context. You see, the Jewish people were conquered and they were oppressed by the Roman government. And so the tax money that Zacchaeus would collect from the Jewish people went directly to support the nation that was oppressing them. It would be like if a nation invaded and conquered the United States, and then they took like half of your paycheck every time you got paid, and that money went straight to support them in their efforts to oppress you. It was a cycle that the Jewish people couldn't get out of, and so they hated the Roman government, and they hated these people who collected taxes for them. But you see, the Romans had learned early on that they couldn't send Roman citizens to collect the taxes because the people would like rebel against them. And so what they did is they would get Jewish people to become tax collectors. And so Zacchaeus is a Jew. And so he's not just collecting taxes for the Romans, but he's a sellout. He's sold out his own people in the pursuit of making money. And then beyond that, the Romans would say, like, okay, I want this amount of money, but you can go collect whatever you want. We'll back you up. We'll make them pay it. We just want our cut. And so tax collectors were infamous for ripping people off. If they were supposed to collect $20, they would collect $40, and they would keep half of it for themselves. And so there were a lot of reasons to hate Zacchaeus. There's a lot of political reasons. There's religious reasons. There's ethical reasons that people hated him. He wasn't just collecting money, but he was doing it for an enemy government, and he was ripping people off. And so we're going to look a little bit deeper at his story. And in Luke chapter 19, verse 1, it says, "He," talking about Jesus, "entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was a wee little man. And so he ran on ahead, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And so Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. He's heard stories about Jesus. This is towards the end of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is kind of a celebrity of that day, if you will. And so Zacchaeus wants to see him. But so does everybody else. There's a big crowd when he shows up. He's a little guy. He can't fight his way through the crowd. And I wonder if it was just like it's a big crowd and he just couldn't push through. But a part of me thinks that maybe this crowd of people, as much as they would have despised Zacchaeus, they see him, they know that he wants in, and they kind of work together to keep him out. And if they like lock arms and just stand there so he can't get by, or maybe they're just standing there and Zacchaeus tries to go around and they like kind of hip check him and like keep him out, keep him to the back. I don't know, but there's just this visual in my head that that's what's taking place, that this crowd is working together to keep Zacchaeus away from Jesus. And then I wonder if we've ever been guilty of that. Like, I wonder if I've ever let my dislike for someone or my dislike for a certain group of people become a barrier between them and Jesus. I wonder if the church, not specifically our church, but globally the church, has let our dislike for certain people's choices, certain people's morality, become a barrier, a hindrance to them coming to Christ. But that's what's happening in this story. These people are keeping him from coming to Jesus. And so the crowd knows Zacchaeus. It's safe to assume that Jesus does too, especially since he's about to call him by name. And so the question is, how is Jesus going to respond to this guy that everybody else despises? Verse 5, it says, "When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.' And so he hurried and came down and received him joyfully." Jesus doesn't respond to Zacchaeus with disgust. He invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house. Like, I don't know if your parents ever taught you that was rude, like to invite people over, invite yourself over to people's houses. Like, I always, on Sundays, like we'd go to church and I'd always want to go over to a friend's house like Sunday afternoon, but it was rude to invite yourself over, so you would just kind of try to hint and like toe that line of how far you could go without your parents getting upset with you for being rude. I don't know, maybe if your parents hold that view, you can just be like, hey, Jesus did it, right? And so maybe it's okay. But the truth is, that wasn't normal. It wasn't normal in that culture either to invite yourself over to somebody's home. Jesus is kind of overstepping a little bit here. He's initiating, he's very aggressively initiating this encounter with Zacchaeus. Jesus sees through his past, he sees through his poor choices, he sees through his reputation, he sees through all of it, and he sees that he's searching for something. Like, he's searching for something in his life, so much so that he doesn't just see the crowd that he can't get through and he stops. He puts in effort as a wee little guy to climb up this tree so he can see Jesus. And so Jesus invites him. And when Alan first learned the song, he said, instead of "I'm coming to your house today," he thought he was singing "We're coming to your house to play." But Jesus goes to Zacchaeus' house to play, to eat, however you want to say it. But isn't that great that Jesus is willing to extend grace to everybody? I mean, Zacchaeus is one of the worst of the worst. He's the lowest of society. He's on the outcast. He's the outcast of that society. And Jesus is willing to engage with him. He's willing to offer him grace and to go hang out at his house and to have a conversation with him. And so in verse 7 it says, "When the people saw it, they all grumbled. And they said, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner.'" Like, the crowd doesn't think it's great news that Jesus is hanging out with Zacchaeus, and so they're going to begin to turn on him. All these people who have heard all the stories about Jesus, they've traveled, some of them probably a decent distance, to go see him. When they see what he does, it makes them upset, and they're going to begin to turn on him. You know, there's always Pharisees. Even today, there's people who think that you have to be of a certain morality, that you have to look a certain way to be a part of church, to be a part of the kingdom, and that's not what it's about. And Jesus is encountering this problem with this crowd that's upset. But he doesn't really care. In verse 8 it says, "Zacchaeus stood and he said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will restore it fourfold.'" And so Zacchaeus has a change of heart. He repents. He says, I'm gonna stop doing this. I'm gonna stop cheating people. I'm gonna give half of what I have away to the poor, and anyone that I've cheated," which he became wealthy by cheating people, he says, "anyone I've cheated, I'm gonna pay them back four times what I took." Like, this is a serious financial move. This is a bankrupting move for Zacchaeus. If you look into Old Testament law, Jewish people were commanded if they harmed someone, they were to repay their debts. Right? And so what Zacchaeus was legally obligated to do was to repay what he had taken, but he says, I'm going to repay it four times. It's an excessive gesture. But it's an excessive gesture that's a reflection of what's happening in his heart. And that life change happens for one reason. It happens because when he was despised by everybody else, Jesus still ate with him. Jesus sought a relationship with him when no one else did. And in verse 9, it says, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, for he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Now, this story is about so much more than just dinner and taxes. Like, it's a illustration of Jesus' whole mission. Like, Jesus came to reach the unreachable. He came to touch the hearts of the untouchable. That's what his entire ministry is about. Now, there's a very real temptation for us to look down on people with different values than us. There's a temptation for us to look down on people that cuss, to look down on people that drink, to look down on people that have sex, to look down on all these different groups of people because they have different moral values than we do. Maybe they don't have many values at all. But Jesus does the opposite. And not just in this one story, throughout his entire ministry you see it, and we're going to look at it for the next 3 weeks. He seeks out people that the culture considered morally repulsive. He sought out people that were disgusting to the rest of society. He embraced people that no one else would embrace. And he eats with the despised. He doesn't just do it this one time. In Luke chapter 5, verse 27, we see that Jesus actually calls a tax collector to be one of his disciples. It says, after this, he went out and he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And leaving everything, he rose and he followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table with them. Go on to that next slide. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? See, this wasn't a new issue for Jesus. He'd encountered this before. And it says, Jesus answered him, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You see, Jesus, all throughout his ministry, he said he would engage with these Pharisees, these religious people who thought they were doing everything right because they went to church, because they read Scripture, and because they memorized it, because they lived these moral lives. And he says, I didn't come for the self-righteous, I came for the sinners. That's who I'm here for, the people that realize their need for me. And so you can choose to look down on people. You can choose to look down on people who don't share your morality, people who don't share your religious beliefs, but you have to realize that doing that is a direct contradiction of the mission of Christ. It's a direct contradiction of the expressed will of God in Scripture. And so you can do it, but it runs contrary to everything that we as Christians are supposed to stand for. And so the question tonight is, who have you looked at that way in the past? Who is it that Jesus might be calling you to embrace, that he might be calling you to forgive, that he might be calling you to share a meal with, to share a conversation, to engage with, to get to know? Who is it in this story that you identify with? Maybe some of you identify with Zacchaeus in the story. Maybe you're weighed down by the weight of decisions that you've made in the past, mistakes, sins that are in your past. Maybe it's really difficult for you to even come to church on a Wednesday night. Maybe you're here because your parents bring you. Maybe they make you come, or maybe there'd just be too many questions if you suddenly decided that you didn't want to come. But it makes you feel awkward to sit here tonight because of things in your past. And if that's you, I hope that you would seek Jesus tonight. Because just like in the story of Zacchaeus, he's there and he's waiting with love and forgiveness if you seek him. Maybe you identify more with the crowd. Maybe you're standing between a Zacchaeus and Jesus. Maybe there's someone in your life, in your school, in your job, wherever it is that you know isn't a believer, but they're not really cool. They kind of disgust you a little bit, and so you just don't really step out and engage with them. Maybe you just don't even notice them. You're just apathetic towards them, and sometimes that's worse. My hope for you tonight is that God would soften your heart, that He would give you a heart for hurting people, that He would cause you to notice those people and to share the love of Christ with them. Maybe you identify a little bit more with Jesus. Maybe you have been met with anger or questions, or you've been shunned a little bit because of your love for these untouchable groups of people. And if that's you, I hope that you would continue to do that. Continue to reach out, to share the gospel, to share the love of Christ, no matter the cost. There were Pharisees in Jesus' day, and they're still around now, but they shouldn't stop us from being about Jesus' work. And that's sharing the gospel with those on the fringes, those that are outcast. And so whatever situation that you fall in tonight, I hope you would be transformed this week by this idea that Jesus ate with the despised. He sought out the people that were outcast. One of my professors in college put it, Jesus is for losers. That's who He came for. That's who He sought out. And we're called to do that too. Let me pray for us and we'll go to our small groups. Father, I thank You for this time. I thank You for Your word, the opportunity to look at it each week. I thank You for the way that You speak through it. I ask that You would be with these students. Father, I pray that You would give them eyes to see people the way that You do. I pray that You would give them hearts to love people the way that You love, Lord, with no strings attached, with no benefit on our part, but that we would just be a people known for our love, Lord. I ask that You would be with us as we go into these small group times, as we talk about this idea of reaching out to those on the fringes. I pray that You would put people on our hearts and minds that we know that don't know You, Lord. And I pray that You would burden our hearts for them. I ask that You would give us opportunities to extend grace to them, Lord, to extend Your love to them, and that they might come to know You through our testimony, through our lives. Be with our small group time. I pray that You would guide the discussion. Amen. You guys are dismissed to small groups.